Welcome to the I3 podcast, hosted by the Staff Development and Training Division of the South Carolina Department of Social Services. Our I3 podcast is a space where we as social service professionals can imagine, ideate, and discuss innovative ways to improve policy, practice, and the culture within our profession. If you have a passion for, or you feel called to serve others, then the I3 podcast is a place for you to learn, grow, and explore creative possibilities that could help improve the way in which you help others. With that said, I invite you to be present during our time together and allow your creative energy to flow as we discuss various topics in the field of social services. Welcome to the I3 podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Gary James, Director of Professional Development and Innovation here at the South Carolina Department of Social Services. Today's guest is Director Mike Leach, State Director for the South Carolina Department of Social Services. Now, Director Leach comes to us from the state of Tennessee, where he was very successful in improving policy, practice, and performance in child welfare. Director Leach, welcome to I3, and I'm very appreciative of you taking out time of your busy schedule to be a guest on our inaugural I3 podcast.
This is exciting. Thanks, Gary, for having me. I am honored to be here with you and get to talk about how we're going to continue to do this work better.
Yes, sir. We are certainly thankful to have you here today. So we're going to dive right in.
Okay.
With a few questions.
Let's do it.
Okay. So you've been an innovative leader through some of the hardest and tumultuous times in agency's history. Talk about some of the things that you focused on during the pandemic and how you were able to lead our agency through a very challenging time that we've never seen before as an agency. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, social services is already a challenge. It's a fragile system. Mm-hmm. And if anybody would have ever told me there'd be a pandemic during my administration, I would have probably ran, right? But you can't run.
Right.
You're a leader. You have to take that on. And DSS, Department of Social Services, was created in 1937. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of folks know that, as the Department of Public Welfare.
Wow, it's a long time ago.
And today's DSS, we serve one in every six South Carolinians. And the work DSS does every day is daunting. It's a lot. It's fast paced. It's high stakes decision making. It requires a high level of professionalism, attention to detail, and follow through. And I'm reminded that we, meaning you, me, and our team members, are the experts in this work. Mm-hmm. And we should remember that each and every day. And our greatest resource in this agency is our people. They're professionals, and not just employees or staff, but professionals. When I first arrived, when Governor McMaster asked me to come on, I knew one thing. I heard a lot, but I knew one thing. There was a lot of passionate, dedicated folks who probably do a lot of good work, who work in a system that's really outdated. And one of the things I talk with our professionals about is how COVID has challenged us as an agency. It continues to be a challenge and continues to increase our workload in some parts of the agency. However, it's allowed for some of our programs to think outside of the box, like our IT department, to figure out quickly how to maintain a high level of customer service when state employees were sent home, right? What technology was needed? How do we put teams in place? How do we continue to meet the needs of customers while potentially being at home, right? Jose Encarnacion, he's over our OIT team, and they put their thinking caps on and worked along with the assistance of department administration and others to make the technology come alive faster than it probably would have without the pandemic. You know, we had to think outside the box, how to keep our professionals safe as they did their job. They can't stop doing their job.
Right.
Keep our professionals safe, keep making sure that the needs are being met for the clients in a lot of different areas. One thing that I think was really important.
Okay, what's that?
Compassion.
Yes.
Compassion. I think, and that's always something that I felt was part of leadership, but I read a lot about that as leaders, they focus more on compassion and caring for their staff than they probably ever have. That was something that already existed within me because I felt like, in this work, if you care about your clients, you have to care about your professionals. But that was something that every single second minute of each day, you are thinking about what that looks like for your professionals as they had to take care of their families, right? Worry about their health, take care of their clients.
Yes.
And everybody was anxious and worried and scared. As a leader, you had to say, we are going to get through this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. I'm here for you. I'm scared as well, right? I'm anxious. You know, I had panic attacks, right? I watched the news every day for a while and I said, oh my gosh, this is really scary. I can't watch this anymore.
Certainly.
Right? Okay. I need to focus on my team, my family at DSS, and make sure that they are okay as we move forward.
So is compassion the driving force for you to get you through that period, that 2-year period where we were struggling with so many different things? How are we making sure that we're meeting the needs of our clients and also meeting the needs of our fellow workers within this profession? Was that driving motivational force to keep you moving each and every day through that very difficult time?
You know, I feel like if we give and provide to our professionals within the social service system, that they are going to be able to give that and provide to their clients at a high percent, 100% more, right? I felt like what I needed to do was just connect with everybody and just say, I know it's hard. We're going to get through this together. I care about you. I care about your health. So whatever you need to do to make sure you take care of yourself, you take care of your family. Oh, school's out, right? How are you going to manage, you know, balancing taking care of a child at home who's doing virtual and having to do this job that's already impossible to do?
Challenging. Yes.
So that was the focus, right? Now, at the same time, the work can't stop. There has to be the accountability, but I can also understand and listen and hear the pain that may be resonating with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I shared that through many of my emails and correspondence was that, listen, I'm struggling too. It's not easy. We're all having to try to figure out how to manage. And that was hard for me because I was, you know, as a leader, you want to be strong.
Yeah.
You want to, you know, feel like that, you know, you could take on anything, right? There's hope. But I had to be genuine and say, this is really how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did a phenomenal job. I mean, the communication was excellent during the pandemic. You were very transparent about your feelings. You're very transparent about, you know, being a human being and having a wide range of emotions. But at the same time, charging us with getting the job done, which is what we have to do because of the number of individuals that we impact within our state. So you did a phenomenal job with that. We're very appreciative.
You bring up a great point. Communication. Mm-hmm. You know, there was always the opportunity to improve our communication within the department and always still will be,
Certainly.
That looks like. But we did ramp up emails to all 4,200 folks.
Yes,
we had large leadership meetings consisting of 100 plus folks that we were doing weekly, actually daily for a while, right? All of that extra communication in making sure that everybody knew what was happening, all the steps we were taking to make sure people were safe, put things in place to update technology. Those were important. But I got that, you know, I got that from, you know, the Emergency Management Department and Governor McMaster when that stuff started.
Right.
I mean, we were meeting every day.
Yes, we were.
For 7 months from like 11 to 1, right? Every state agency. And that was really important for me to be able to go, here are all these people around you who could help you when there was a barrier that you couldn't address.
Right.
And it felt like a great support system. And I said, we need to make sure that we are doing that very similar thing. Mm-hmm.
Again, that was a once in a generation type situation with that pandemic. But immediately we were able to tap into some innovative ways to be very communicative with our staff and workforce to ensure that the work continues, but we were actually taking care of ourselves. You know, kudos to you, Governor McMaster, and the entire team for the way that you led South Carolina through the pandemic. But I think that really leads to what this podcast is all about. How do we continue to be more innovative with the work that we do? What's your strategy? And what was your strategy when you first arrived, as it is compared to now, related to being innovative with this work to improve performance?
Yeah. So I remember being quoted in the Post and Courier article after a year on the job by saying, you know, we had to focus on everything. And that's not really a good strategy, right? Because you want to really focus on, you want to have priorities and have a plan for each thing. Now, we have a lot of plans, right? We've developed a lot of really good plans and we're working those plans in each area. But when I say focus on everything, it talks about, right? How do we get to a better financial situation? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure our human resources is tight and things are working seamlessly and efficiently, right? How do we continue to improve the agency culture, which when I came in here, the culture that I wanted to be a part of.
Right.
And continue to build relationships and expand relationships and identify barriers and work through those barriers systematically, whether that be technology or processes or policies. It was to make sure that, you know, we had the right people in the right place.
Yes.
They knew their role was not just to do their job, but to innovate.
Yes.
And to think outside the box about how you can do this job better and more effectively and efficiently. Set goals, certainly. Annual goals.
Certainly.
Work towards those goals. And again, I said, and I don't say it too much anymore because I think we're slowly getting there. But when I came in here, I felt like we were 10 years behind where I had already been.
Certainly.
So yeah. Some of the things that we've implemented are things that I know have worked. It's not like imagining something. Mm-hmm. It's already been imagined.
Okay.
It works. How do you make it work in this system?
Right.
Better than what you know is already going on, because it's not working.
Certainly.
It's just not working, right? And so you have to work through those things, but you're doing that in every area. You're doing that in technology. You're doing that in the finance department. You're doing that in human resources. You're doing that in the program areas, training, right? How do we, you assess and go, wow, this is training. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we be better? Can we do it better?
Certainly.
If I say yes, because of my observation and assessment, then I expect the leaders to come up with what that looks like. Learn from others, read what the best practices are, implement those things.
Yeah. So that brings up one of the things that I really love about you, and that's that reciprocal accountability, because you do hold us accountable, which is what a large part of your job. But you also help us in terms of providing resources to get the job done. It's a gotcha approach to management. It's more of a, I'm going to hold you accountable, but what do you need to be successful? And that's certainly something that we really appreciate about you. The fact that you do care, the fact that you do give us the autonomy to do the work that we do, but you're expecting innovation, you're expecting imagination. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been around the system for my entire professional career, just about, and I've seen the agency and other agencies doing the same thing continuously without improved performance. So the fact that you're bringing in innovative ways to work, innovative thought, is certainly needed in South Carolina to better the quality of services that we deliver to those that we serve. Because as you alluded to earlier, we serve 1 in 6 South Carolinians. And that's a huge impact for a state agency. So we've got to look at various ways to improve what we do. That being said, let's talk to not Director Mike Leach, but let's talk to Mike Leach. What drives you personally to do this work as a personal incentive for you to make the work happen?
That's a great question. Man, that's a really good question. personal incentive, right? I don't know if there's an incentive to it. Internally, I guess my whole life I've been driven, right? And whether that's in sports, academics in some areas, right? Some areas. Not math so much, I always said to myself, hey, I want to be good at everything. I want to be the best. I'm driven. I get that. I probably from, you know, and the dedication to just and the commitment to, you know, watching, you know, my mom grow up, you know, as I grew up, her being a forensic sexual abuse investigator and having to fight for children who have been sexually abused.
Right.
Whether that's fighting for them in court, and the dedication to her, the way she handled and her professionalism and the way she handled herself and handling trauma and being able to do this work for, gosh, I mean, as long as I can remember, right? And just fighting for those young people and those families was tremendous, right? And, you know, she moved on to working with children with cystic fibrosis and other things, right? As a nurse practitioner. And she also taught doctors, future doctors, how to do this job with care and compassion. And I got that from her. You know, my stepdad, who I grew up with, right? You know, I saw how he handled his work as a parole and probation officer and a private investigator with professionalism, how to work with people, but also give back to the community, right? Being on certain boards. I knew in sophomore year in college, that when I took a sociology of family class, that like I wanted to be a therapist. I want to help children and families.
Okay.
Right. And my mom said, wow, you were always good with kids, right? You're always good. And so that's where I went into. But then I realized you know, as I was being a therapist, you know, I was asked to take on new project roles mm-hmm. with the child welfare system. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there is so much work to be done within the child welfare system. I want to be part of it and continue to make these, you know, macro level changes, mm-hmm. right? How can we be better to serve children and families? How can we go more upstream and prevent that?
Right.
But, you know, going back to, I don't know, I just like being around people and I want to be around people who, different people, diverse folks who mm-hmm. have a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts, and I want to learn from them and I want to help folks be better. Mm-hmm. I want to help folks get through tough times. Right. I don't know what, right. I don't know what that is, right. but it's when I was asked to do this, right? I knew this was going to be a really tough job, right? I knew moving to South Carolina, yeah. you know, with my family and my wife said, let's do it. Yeah. Right. And I had opportunities for other states,
certainly.
But I chose South Carolina because I felt the commitment from the current administration, mm-hmm. Governor McMaster, Senator Shealy, you know, the board that sort of looked at that was looking at the resumes, you know, I could tell that they were committed to trying to figure this out, not just a political figurehead, but right. wanting to like fix things. Yes. And I was bought into that. Now, when I got here, I realized, oh my gosh, what, you know, a lot of
didn't realize what you were walking into.
Right, right. But at the same time, it's I look at those as challenges. I love challenges. Let's start working through those. It's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
But with the right resources, with the right leadership, whether, you know, whether that's internal or external to us, again, mm-hmm. the governor's office, the General Assembly, we can be strong and we can help a lot of people, in the midst of pandemic or inflation. Now, again, the work has been challenging more so now because of those things. Those things are social service killers, they right? are. But we have to continue to, again, think outside the box, be creative, figure out how to help people each and every day to make it work. So I hope that answers
that
your question.
That
I was
did.
All
that
over
did.
The place.
That
but
did. I'll tell you what, just listening about your upbringing and your mom and your stepdad, what was being modeled before you from working with you, from listening to you and watching the work that we do together, is that you are a phenomenal critical thinker. And that is one of the areas that we as a social service profession really need to delve more into, because we've done so much of the approach of checking the box,
right,
as opposed to being critical thinkers to improve performance. Talk a little bit about critical thinking.
So it's a balance of those things, right?
Okay.
And a lot of things that come down from monitors or compliance type
right.
things, right?
Right?
Or the federal government, right? Check this box, do this well.
Mm-hmm.
But are we doing it with quality? Are we getting deep into the critical thinking aspect of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we just, like you said, checking the box. To hit
yeah.
the thing? Now, you know, there's a balance. You gotta make sure you do these things, right?
Certainly.
But how do we do it well? How do we do it quality? How do we think deeper to make sure that we're doing it better? And quality isn't an accident.
Not at all.
Right? Productivity isn't an accident.
It's intentional.
It's intentional, right? You have to strive to improve. You have to test your theories. You have to build a department like we did
yes.
around continuous quality improvement and quality assurance, where you're doing something. You know, it gets into the imagine, ideate, innovate work, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have to plan, then we do it, then we study if it's working.
Right.
And then we act on it if it's working. If we don't, start all over,
change it up,
right? And those are things that, you know, you have to do over and over and over again as this world dealing with humans and dealing with this work changes. You have to continue to CQI things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continue to try new things, go, oh, they don't work. We're going to try something different. It takes practice. It takes consistency. It takes talking that language every single day. And asking the right questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Why can't we do that more? How do we, if that is best practice, how do we get to those things? And so, you know, we're a state government system. We're a bureaucracy. Things are slow.
Mm-hmm.
To work, but we have to adapt to create sort of a more rapid pace of change. We have to reinvent some things, but we also have to do it right. There's the implementation, you know, science
yes.
implementation, right?
Yes.
And those take, in our world, 2 to 3 years, right? To implement something.
At a minimum.
To, right, at a minimum, right? To implement something well. But you have to start,
yes,
and then you have to go, it doesn't work, or it works and you have to try it again, and you have to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are doing at DSS now, instead of just saying, making excuses.
Yes, yes.
We can't do that anymore.
No, that doesn't work. It doesn't accomplish the goal.
Right.
So critical thinking is certainly one of those things that we certainly want to improve on within our profession, but that takes time. So we have to make sure that we carve out time, you know, weekly and sometimes daily to come together and to think and to imagine. I want to move into the imagine phase of this. One of my heroes, and you'll laugh at this, one of my heroes is Walt Disney.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Whenever I go to Orlando, you know, with my family, I love looking at his creativity. This gentleman, he had an idea. You know, he imagined a happy place, a happy world. Mm-hmm. He had an idea and looked several places around the country, including South Carolina, where he wanted to build this kingdom. And he ended up in Kissimmee, Florida, and built the world's largest entertainment district on swampland. Hmm. And whenever I go down there, I get into this place, this space, where I'm thinking, what made this guy create this process, to create this environment? And if he can do that for entertainment purposes, what can we as human service professionals do to improve the way that we care for one another in this world? So imagine, you know, forming a mental image or a concept of something that's not currently present. Talk a little bit about how you imagine and what that process looks like for you, for Michael.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know all that with Disney. I've never actually been to Disney World, but I've been to Disneyland, right? So to me, that was a happy spot, right? So
yes.
For him to have that vision of saying, I want a place where you just feel happy all the time. I have a lot of memories of Disneyland. And they're all happy, right? Mm-hmm. And so it works, right? Creating those memories. Imagination, or to imagine things, it does take time. You have to take time out of, like you said, your day or your week or your month, mm-hmm, to think about what could be.
Yes.
Right? What the vision looks like. And it's about seeing the impossible or the unreal. I can't obviously imagine what he was thinking or anything, but I'm working in state government,
right?
And imagination is a little constrained, as you have rules and regulations and laws, whether it's state or federal. So I imagine certain things, but I also realize that, like, I am constrained by those things. So I have to change those things or work towards changing some of those things that I have control over or don't have control over to get to that place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that word much in state government. Probably don't have a lot of time, but again, like you said, you have to find time.
Yes.
I think it starts, imagination to me, it starts with listening and learning from our clients and recipients of the service.
Yes.
I can think about and imagine what is best, but I'm also not the one on the other end right now, right?
That's right.
And so I don't know what is best. I think listening and understanding what they're saying is going to get me imagining what could be in the future, right? Whether that's families or folks receiving SNAP or young people in the system, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what would make life easier? What do they need to make it easier, more efficient to get services? We need to ask them. We need to be on the ground finding out. And that'll help us figure out future policy, practice, technology. How do we break down silos and connection points? I think that sometimes we have silos within our system, but we have silos within all the systems we work with, right? And so if you break those down, you know, we have started doing a good job with our sister state agencies and some of the other work to say, you know, we all have to wrap around this family together to make them successful. It just can't be one thing, right?
That's right.
Our teams also need to be diverse with individuals that have different strengths to start imagining and allow them to imagine, right? Brainstorm. Take a time and just go, what could be better in our area? Mm-hmm. But then how does that affect the overall well-being of our citizens in South Carolina?
Yeah.
You know, I tell leadership, it's not okay to run your program as sort of status quo. And I think I mentioned that earlier.
You did.
You can find ways to do it better. Making the time to be imaginative with the client's voice at the table or telling you this is what we need it to look like, so that we can have a more positive, confident future, I think. And allowing our professionals to have that time, empowering them to have that time and speak up, right? They know it can be better.
They do. And that really leads into ideate and ideation. Giving our staff the autonomy, the ability to form ideas or to conceptualize ways to improve their areas. and not doing so in a manner that is punitive in a way if they brought an idea to the table, but one that is very receptive and open and giving them that space, because we have a lot of excellent professionals within our agency.
Yes.
I believe I'm right when I say they just have not been given that opportunity to ideate in some instances to improve the areas in which they work. But that's something that you have brought to the agency. So when you talk about imagining, how does that relate and translate into ideation and forming ideas and conceptualizing ways to do things better?
Yeah, I mean, I think with a strong CQI process and an understanding of that, people can ideate, right? They mm-hmm. can take what they've imagined and try new things, right? They can put that into action. And, you know, I again, as I tell my leaders, right, like, I need you to do that.
Certainly.
I need it to be better. I need it. And again, try it. If it doesn't work, make the changes, right. Do it again, right? And work through your implementation science protocols. You know, experiment a little. Yeah. Bring together perspectives and strengths of your team members, right? And offer those up. If you can't make that change within a policy or practice, make sure that you provide that information to somebody who can.
Right.
And so you do those things, right? Like, I think an important thing that we sort of imagined and are sort of the ideation stage right now, right, is sort of a no wrong door philosophy in certain parts of the department, right? So if you walk into a child support office and have questions about child support, mm-hmm. right, that's your focus. But what if somebody were to ask you, hey, you have childcare? What other benefits do you need? Think you're eligible for anything else? Well, I don't know. I didn't know there was anything else.
Right.
Okay, well, let's connect them right then and there, mm-hmm. right, to potentially those opportunities, those benefits that could help them in many ways, right? And so those are the things where, you know, I'm asking professionals to ideate, and then we'll get into the innovation and doing all that stuff.
Certainly.
But, you know, again, somebody once said, hey, you know, that we have a lot of trauma in this agency, right? There's a lot of trauma with this work, dealing with things you see and hear. People don't want to know what we do.
They don't.
It's scary to them.
Yes.
It makes them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It makes them anxious, right? They'd rather let us do it.
Yeah. Let DSS take care of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's uncomfortable, right? They don't want to hear all the bad things going on, right? But we have to hear the bad things.
Every day.
Every single day. And, you know, and our staff, you know, have to deal with that, right? And have to deal with challenging situation. You have to put in things like an employee assistance program that actually focuses and understands you as your work, right? That's something that, you know, somebody imagined.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out the working inner workings of what that looks like, and then you implement it, you innovate it. And that's, but those are things that, again, we got to have staff who want to do that. We got to empower them to do that stuff and provide that feedback so that we can do these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So very important. And we're so very appreciative of you for looking out for our health, because this work is very traumatic. Secondary stress, secondary trauma mm-hmm. Is real. And we have families, we have lives outside of the work that we do. And the EAP program that's been implemented recently through yourself and our director of HR, Glenice Elmore, has just been phenomenal. We're an agency that deals with crisis. People don't come to us for feel-good solutions. They come to us when they are in a very, very critical stage in their lives. So that leads me to our last part of this discussion on innovation, you know, making changes in things that have been established, things that have been in place for decades.
Right.
How do we energize our staff, our workforce, to do something a new way? How do we make it okay to introduce new methods, new ideas, new products, and do so in a safe manner while still doing our jobs and keeping our families and vulnerable adults and children safe? But how do we develop and craft this safe space where it's okay to imagine, to ideate, and then implement through innovation?
I mean, I think that goes back to allowing them to voice what that may look like.
Okay.
And taking that feedback and going, yeah, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then throughout that process, talking about why we're doing this, how we do think this will bring about a better outcome than what we were doing before. For me, it takes a little bravery, because things are in place for a reason.
Yeah, it's easy, though.
Somebody wants it there, and they're going to keep it there, even if it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to take all of that and go, no, we're going to change that. That's not working. That's not right. And that may upset some folks.
It will.
At the end of the day, long term, I want to be better than where we are now.
We have to be.
And I want, however long I'm here, I want that next leader, those next leaders to be better off where they start compared to where I had to start. And that's in all areas, right? How are we better with that, right? How do we put things in place? How do we do, again, doing something a new way is innovation, right? It's making changes to something established. We know it's not working the way it needs to be. So let's make the changes. And then I'm also an advocate. If the federal government has a statute or rule or policy in place that doesn't help us do it a better way, I'm going to say something to them.
That's leadership.
Right? Like, you know, and then they'll have to figure out how to make it work or not. But I'm going to keep bringing some. I have an email right now that I sent last year to the feds that I said, hey, if you do this, it'll save 50 states, all kinds of money, time, pressure, services, all that kind of stuff. Well, we'll look into that. We'll look into that. Okay. Well, I have it drafted again this year, ready to go. Hey, have you guys done this yet? Right? They know it too. They know it. Again, is it on their priority list? I think, again, it's taking existing systems and then using the ideas and the imagination and improving them. And I think much of the innovation DSS has done in this work is a lot of it is through technology.
Yes.
Some of it is through policy improvement by taking all this information and improving policies. But, you know, we've put a new SC voucher portal out, the child support online application process, our central registry checks portal, our PEBT portal, our PACS customer service portal, our the family court case management system for the clerks and the judges, our centralized intake hub. Man, I could go on and on, right? And but all of that started with somebody imagining that we could do this work more efficiently and effectively.
Right.
And then somebody said, all right, the idea's here. Let's innovate. Let's put it in place, right? You can't just look at what you're doing right now and go, I'm okay with it.
No. That will continue to result in what we currently have, which is metrics that can be improved. We have 4,300 employees, approximately, and I'm going to use the word. Imagine if we had 4,300 innovative critical thinkers within the agency. How much better South Carolina would be, how much better the system that we work within would be if we had that type of thought going on each and every day.
And not just within the department, right? But outside the department, all the systems.
All the systems.
All the state government systems, General Assembly, everybody aligned towards, again, the outcome that we would want, which is hopefully improved well-being for our citizens, right? And that's a lot of different things, right? Well-being it's a lot of things. But what does that look like? What's the collective? That's a huge collective impact.
That's a major collective impact, but one that actually needs to take place if we want to improve our society.
Yes. And so, again, the relationships and working together and talking about where we're trying to go and how do we get there and telling that story about where we think we need to go, why we think we need to be there, right? How do we help everybody, not just certain populations of folks, I think is important. And with a focus on those things that do that, not 150 things, but five things that can make that happen would be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Having that laser approach as opposed to that shotgun approach where you're all over the place. Director Leach, I know your time is valuable. I just want to say thank you for selecting South Carolina to be your place of impact. I know it was a huge sacrifice for you and your family to relocate. I can honestly say that South Carolina is already better for the work that we do because of you being here and you giving us as professionals the ability and the autonomy to make a better system for South Carolina. We certainly appreciate it. Are there any last words that you want to leave with our audience?
And I appreciate that, Gary, and taking the time out to talk with me. I love this work. And people would say you're crazy for that, right? But I love the challenge. I love these systems are going to be around.
They will be.
Forever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'd rather, you know, we work ourselves out of jobs would be wonderful. They're going to be around. And so while I'm here on this earth for this period of time, how do I make this system better for the folks now and for the folks in the future who may be served by the system? How do I make sure that our citizens, professionals that are within the system, grow to be the best human beings they can be?
That's right.
And at the same time, I learn from them how to be the best human being I can be.
Yes.
And I learn every day from folks who just do amazing things every single day, but are not given the kudos or the prop, you know, because it's social work you know, you're just helping feed people or something like, come on, they're doing the hardest jobs in all of state government. And when people don't agree with them or not happy, they complain, right? About them not doing their job, right? Well, that's not true. They're doing their job. That's why you're complaining.
Exactly.
Sometimes,
exactly.
Right? And so again, we're dealing with the hardest situations that nobody else wants to deal with. Mm-hmm. And they turn their eye or they say, you know, we just, you guys figure it out. Yeah. Well, we're going to figure it out. And that's what I'm here for. And I'm not going to give up. We're going to keep going. But that's what we should be doing as humans on Earth, is trying to figure out how to help each other, help these systems be better.
Totally agree. Your passion comes through loud and clear. We are very appreciative, like I said earlier, for you and your family being here. And we're behind you 100% and looking forward to what the future has for the agency, for state government, and the system, all of the systems together, because of the way that you're leading the agency. So thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Dr. James, for this time.
Thank you for joining us today on our i3 podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please follow and subscribe to the show. And until next time, remember to make time during the day to imagine the possibilities of how you can improve the work that you do. Write down your ideas so that they become goals to strive for. And lastly, begin to engage in critical thinking about how you can implement your ideas through groundbreaking, innovative ways as we work together to improve the world in which we live.